are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you who are joining us for the very, very first time tonight, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. Last night's show was a heavyweight. It really was, and I've been getting very interesting email since the show. A lot of folks have talked about how it really was sort of a mind-bender, and it really made them think. Some people said, hey, you know, I don't buy it. We're not living in a computer game. We're not living in a matrix. Some people said it sounds plausible. But the reason I bring this up is because of a couple of things that I think we need to be reminded of. First of all, we have a very, very diverse audience. You could not possibly make a statement about the Kevin Smith Show audience that would apply to absolutely everyone in the audience. Except you might say, well, okay, they like the Kevin Smith Show. I think that would probably apply to everyone in the audience because, you know, you come back night after night, so I assume that you like the show. Other than that, you really cannot make a blanket statement that applies to our audience. And that's seen by the responses that I was getting in the email and responses like I just mentioned. Some people loved the whole discussion, and they said, yeah, it makes sense, you know. Some people said, no, I'm not buying it. Some people kind of fell in the middle between all that. So that's one thing, and that is that we have a very, very diverse audience. And another thing you can say about our audience is that you think. It's a dying art on this planet, you know, thinking. But you think, you really give it some thought, you consider it, you think about it, and that is so important, so very, very important in a world that's giving up on rational thinking. Can we win the day? Well, I think probably we can. I think, you know, that the art of thinking can spread. But in order for us to do rational thinking, we have to be open-minded to possibilities. By open-minded, I don't mean I'm willing to believe anything. That's not open-minded. That's nuts. What I mean by open-minded is I'm willing to hear and think and consider any possibility. I may decide that that possibility just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. Fine. At least I considered the evidence. At least I considered the possibility. And I think you could say that our audience is very open-minded. And I think you can say that's a good thing. And I think it's possible for that to spread. I certainly hope that it does. Because you see, in order to be open-minded, something has to happen called freedom. People have to be free to think and free to speak and free to express even strange or unpopular ideas. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening has been with us many times, and he, like our guest last night, is a bit of a controversial kind of guy, because really nice guy, but controversial because of the views that he has come to, the positions that he has come to believe are correct and that he talks about. And some people buy it and some people don't, but I find it to be fascinating information, as do most of the folks in our audience, as is evidenced by the emails we get every time he's on the show. Jeff Woolline, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. I'm going to adjust your volume just a bit. There we go. I told folks last night that we're having a lot of overflights of military helicopters. There's one going above the studio right now. Jeff, have you noticed a whole bunch of flights of military helicopters in the area lately?
Yes, I have, Kevin. You know, within the last week or two, as a matter of fact, that you bring it up, I have seen some helicopters flying by, and earlier, a few days ago, my girlfriend said a big black one was flying through the city, so it was very interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what that's all about.
I don't know, but, you know, we live out here in Glendale, and we live a few miles away from that, that Air Force, Luke Air Force base out here, and we've been hearing a lot of tanker jets, so it could be military training.
All right. I was talking with someone else who lives in the Phoenix area today, and he told me that he said, man, a whole fleet of military helicopters, a whole bunch of them, went over his house a few days ago. So I don't know what it is, but we're getting a lot of those. And, you know, we don't normally see a lot of military helicopters in our skies.
Yes, that's true. That's true, especially a squadron of them, as your friend reported there.
Jeff, you took me out to South Mountain, and my friend Tom McCallum from Australia, and we went up on the mountain, and we walked around and saw petroglyphs and shot video and had a great time. Sometime after that, Walter Bosley came over, and we tried to get in touch with you, but I couldn't get in touch with you. But he had limited time, so we went up to South Mountain and did the same thing, found petroglyphs, and walked around. I got to ask you something. One, in the video, by the way, I packaged your copy of the DVD up, and it'll go in the mail tomorrow.
Ah, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can't wait to see it.
You will be pleasantly surprised, I think. But we reached a point where I saw up at the top of a ridge, I saw some petroglyphs. And I wanted us to climb up there and take a look at them and get them on video. On the way up, we came to a rock ledge. And there were petroglyphs. When you climb onto the ledge, there were petroglyphs there. But these petroglyphs did not have, how can I say, you could not see them from the ground, okay?
Okay.
So we climbed up, and we just climbed onto this rock ledge because that was on the way up to where we were headed. But they didn't have a view of the ground. If you were on the ground, you could not see these petroglyphs, meaning that whoever put them there didn't put them there for people to see. They put them there for other reasons.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Could you describe them?
Well, yeah, and you will see in the video, you'll see we spend several minutes there talking about them. And I referred to what you had taught us about what the symbols mean and so forth. They're two portal markings, two spirals, and they both point down.
Oh.
And you have the you have the lizard people in various stages of solidness. So you have one that looks real misty, and he's like he's just emerging. You got one that's half solid, half misty. Like his lower limbs are misty. And then you got one solid one. And then you got another one that is up in the sky sort of and sort of misty. Okay? But as you taught us, the spiral pointed downward indicates a portal in the ground.
That's correct. That's correct. And the misty part of the lizard people is them emerging out and seeing these life forms emerging from the mountains out here. Clearly, when they leave, they're like a spirit form. They're like a ghost. You can kind of see through them. And as they ascend into the sky, then they become more solid and they start to shape-shift and become less harder to see through. And I believe that these petroglyphs is showing this. First, it's like a ghost form, like real dotted lines, you know. It's like a little faded person there, and then he emerges into the full life form. Now, this is very interesting because the interpretation and the myths here say that man emerged up out of the ground, and this is a perfect example of what these petroglyphs are talking about.
There's also a triple energy line, the wavy line that you taught us was an energy line.
Was it a zigzag type of line?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not one line, it's three, all of them parallel, running side by side.
Okay, now sometimes in that you really have to look at the landscape. On sometimes with lines like that, you have to look up and look at the whole landscape. If we see a zigzag and it has, for instance, three triangles, and, for instance, when you look up in the background, we have three pyramid formation mountains, triangles, then chances are it could be what that petroglyph, what that story is trying to tell us, includes these mountains. But if it has just zigzaggy lines with no anything in the back as far as the landscape is concerned, then my guess, my interpretation on that would probably be the energy line or the ley lines that we're so familiar with.
You're going to love this. You're going to love this because we think we found what is an altar, and I'm calling it an altar. Let me say a holy place. It's rocks that are stood up in very similar fashion to Stonehenge.
That's wonderful. That's great.
These lines point right across. You know, we're up on the side of a cliff, and you go to the ground, go about 200 feet across, maybe 300 feet across, and you start up the other mountain over there. Okay, so it's a very narrow valley where one of the trails runs through there.
Right.
And these lines point across that narrow valley right to that stone circle.
Is that right? Well,
yeah.
That is definitely a hot spot, energy source, and a doorway for literally these beings.
Well, on the ground, if you go over there, if you go across that little valley, and you're going to try to go up to that stone circle, which we didn't do, but we did go across the valley and take a look. There is a spiral pointing up towards the stone circle.
Wow. That's awesome.
There's
a doorway, a vortex, a portal right? And the sky there, much like when you see in some of my videos of these lights, they just magically pop in and then they pop out, you see? And it's some kind of doorway that they're able to harness this energy to able to escape into their dimension, if you will.
All right, now I want to ask you, I brought this up about the what we saw on the rock ledge, and I described it for you as you asked me to, but I wanted to ask you, have you actually ever seen these things emerging?
Oh, yeah. Kevin, I have seen things that the camera wasn't able to capture. If you notice on most of my videos, when they're leaving the mountain, they're already above into the sky there. Well, when I'm seeing these things, it takes the camera at least 3 to 4 seconds to warm up and to get into that ready view so I can hit that record. Now, as I'm doing this, that's when I'm seeing these things coming out of this rock here or coming out of the ground there. So by the time the camera's ready to go, those things are already up into the sky. Now, April, I think it was 23rd, when that humanoid-type flying snake reptilian creature thing emerged out of the crack. I watched that thing. I know exactly where that thing came out of. I watched it seemed to emerge right out of the mountain rock there, and I watched it him growing up, and that's when I jumped on the camera. And by the time the camera started filming it, that's when he was already in the sky. But when I seen him, Kevin, it's incredible. Like I said, when they come out of the ground, they look like spirits. They look like ghosts. They're transparent. You can see through them. But as they ascend into the sky, they become more solid, and they shift-shape, and you can see kind of much on what they kind of look like. It's fascinating, Kevin.
I didn't see any come out of the ground, but I was really excited about being on that ledge. That ledge has a cave, a small opening that goes back into a cave. And we took a look in there. It's not like you can walk in. You would have to crawl in. But you could only go about 8.5 to 10 feet. And then it looks like rocks have either it was a cave in and the rocks fell across the rest of the entrance, which I'm not really sure that's what it looks like, or someone put rocks there to block the entrance. But you can see it goes further back. You just can't, even if you crawled up in there, you would not be able to go any further than 8.5 to 10 feet, and you run into these rocks that are blocking the rest of the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, and here you've got two portal markings. You've got four lizard men in various states of solidness. You've got the energy line marking that points across to that circle. But there's another feature that I found really fascinating, and so did Walter Bosley. Here we are standing on this rock ledge. We're probably at that point, maybe 40 feet up. So maybe a little more, maybe 50 feet up. And we're above the treetops. I know that. And so we're up above the treetops where we can look down. And there's a path right there. This is right near where the pathway comes out to the out of the mountain, and you walk up to your car in that big parking lot. Okay, so it's right near that. And the path is, it's not solid. The pathway is really mushy sand. By mushy, I mean it's almost like powder. It's like moon dust.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you walk in it, you don't hear yourself making any sound as you walk. It's not like walking on some of the rock that is out there. This stuff is really, really silent. But when you're up there, you can hear the footsteps. And a lady came through walking a dog. We could hear the dog's footsteps. So I went up further because we had originally decided, you know, that we want to climb up and see these petroglyphs that we could see from the ground. Well, we got to the rock ledge and found this. And then after we talked about it and videotaped it, I climbed up further to get to the ones right at the top that we had seen from the ground. And when you're up at the top, this is what's interesting, or this is one thing that's interesting. There was a guy that came walking down the path. I got him on video, and he walked out away from us maybe 100 yards and over the next little ridge and out of sight. We could hear his footsteps all the way till he went out of sight.
He could or couldn't?
We could.
You could, okay.
Yeah. And I was talking about that, Jeff, with one of the guests. And, you know, I think it was one of the guests. It might have been somebody from the audience. But I remember on the show we were talking about that. And somebody mentioned that, you know, let's say that you were these portals are there, and you were using one of them to transport yourself to that location. Wherever you come out of the portal, the first few seconds, it's going to be very important for you to know that you're safe. And hearing, being able to hear what's going on around you, would be very important. And I agree that it would be. And it was suggested that maybe these portals are being built in places that are acoustically dynamic so that they can hear what's happening around them as they emerge from the portal.
That could very well be. That could very well be, Kevin.
Had you ever thought about that, or is that new to you?
Well, that is a very good idea, and it would make a lot of sense. So I haven't thought about that, but as far as the acoustics, you know, in some of the spots up there, they do sound great, and it would be awesome. You can actually picture, you know, an Indian tribe up there singing and having it echo through the canyon walls, you know, so the acoustics is awesome. And as far as, you know, using that as some kind of security device, if someone is coming up at you or you know, behind you or something, that would be an awesome device to use also.
Yeah, I had not thought of that. Somebody suggested it to me. I have to admit, I think it, to me, I mean, I can't say that's what it is, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense, because it seems like everywhere you find one of these portals, you find some pretty doggone good acoustics. All right. Now, you are appearing on one of the shows, one of the UFO Hunter. You were on last night, and you're appearing again tonight. I think they're doing a replay tonight. Is that right?
Well, you know, I thought that's what I saw on the local cable channels here in Phoenix, but then again, I looked again, and the schedules are different now. So they're going to re-air it on Saturday or Sunday, I believe it is. I think it's Saturday around the afternoon time. So they will be re-airing it this weekend, one time, at
right.
1 o'clock.
Now, well, we've got a break coming up here in a couple of minutes, but let's get started with this. The UFO Hunters show came out here to the Phoenix area, and you were part of the show they did out here. Tell us a little bit about that show and what took place.
Oh, it was great. I met the team up there at the White Tank Mountains. It consisted of about three truckloads and about 7 to 8 team people. They had, give or take, about three cameras. One sat in the back and filmed the scenery and long-distance shots, while the other two followed me and Pat Uskert, one of the stars from UFO Hunters, up the trail of the White Tank Mountains to discuss the petroglyphs and the possible UFO connection. In seeing these UFO shows, when they talk about the Phoenix Lights, you know, this is one of the well-put-together shows I have really seen in a very long time, and my hat really goes off to the team. They did a wonderful, professional job, and it's a great show, so you should check it out.
Well, I wanted to see it, but it was on last night, And it was on during the time when I'm on the air, so I was not able to see it. And I'm looking forward to being able to see that.
Yeah, it's really documented well. They go over the Phoenix lights. They go over the possible flare explanations. They even do some tests on the flares. They release some flares, and they have the witnesses of the 1997 event there who witnessed.
Okay, Jeff, we'll have to continue that when we come back from this break. Folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Woolline. Jeff, I asked you earlier if you had actually ever seen these things coming out of the ground or out of the mountain, and you said, yeah, you'd seen them many times. Have you ever had anyone else with you when they witnessed this happen?
You know, most of the time, it's either been my son or maybe my girlfriend has seen a few of them emerge out of the mountain there. But, you know, if some of those videos, when you examine them, like there's one, I forget which one it is, but I call him Dot. He seems to cruise right through the trees there. Now, this is in front of the mountain. This is a block in front of the mountain. And when you examine that video footage there, there's trees behind this creature and there's trees in front of this creature. And it actually goes inside these trees. Now, I've seen these things come out of trees, and it's a beautiful thing. It's something to really see, and it's happened one time in my life, and I'll never forget what I saw. I recorded it as it flew by the window. But that was about it, and it sparkled at me, Kevin. It was something like fireworks. It was amazing what I witnessed that day. But I will never forget that. So yes, I've seen things that the camera wasn't able to see.
Jeff, how many years have you been studying these petroglyphs?
You know, I've been seeing these things for, I've been studying this topic for well over 12, 13 years now. You know, I just started seeing things in the sky, and it made me go on a quest to find out some explanations on these things, you know. Anywhere from Dead Sea Scrolls to the Bible to, you know, witnesses through the Roswell event. I mean, anything and everything I can get my hands on that talked about UFOs or spirits or anything that is maybe a myth to one people that, you know, could be something else to another. So I just kind of looked a little bit deeper into this, not knowing that while I was doing this all these years, reading and studying about these things, that it was going to lead me up to this mountain. It was going to lead me up to something bigger. You see, in doing this all these years, what I think would lead me up to this is because of the study and because of the dedication, you know. And I have been seeing these things in the sky, and I believe that for the people who are already witnessing these things, that maybe they should dig a little bit more deeper, and they might be able to see them a little bit more. So, and as I did, I started paying attention, and that's all I had to do was just pay attention. And before I know it, I had these things popping up right in front of me, right in the sky there, and they led me to the mountain. In 2004, I watched these lights hang over the power plant. Not once saw them where I originally saw them at, and that led me to believe that they wanted me to see them. They were actually going in the direction of South Mountain. I followed them three nights prior. I sat there, I watched them those whole nights of 2004 and never moved. They never went back to where I was. Every night, me and my friends went up on the bikes, and we rode about a mile and a half up the road to watch these things. Lo and behold, the military got involved. They said that we were seeing flares. I've been studying these things for too many years, and I knew that these things like hanging around mountains. So I went on a hunch in 2005. I moved closer to the mountain within a mile radius, and I just sat and paid attention once more, and holy smoke, here they come, Kevin. And that's when I came to the conclusion, wait a minute. You know, because I came walking into this thinking, you know, space jets, other world, you know, green guys. And I walked out of this going, holy cow, this is something completely different, Kevin. This is something completely new that really nobody is really talking about. And it's something that eventually people will take notice to. So
it's been a long haul for you. You have had people say all kinds, all manner of things about you as a result of your coming to the conclusions that you have. And I'm just wondering, after all this time, have you ever considered, has there ever been a point in all this when you were really under fire, really taking some heavy criticism? Has there ever been a time when you thought about, you know what, maybe I ought to just say, yeah, there's nothing to this and walk away from it?
Absolutely not. This is the reason why I held my gun so strongly as I did, is because once you've witnessed these things, and especially over and over again for over 2 years, and you know that there is something here, that you're right, no one can tell you different, because you know in your heart that it's true, that this stuff is real, and nothing. And once you've seen this, then no one can change your mind about what it is, because you've personally witnessed these things. And it's just only a matter of time. I really feel sorry for the people who hasn't witnessed this, because they're really missing out. If they would just study the mountains and study what these things are doing, and not just hold these legends and myths as you know, like legends and myths, but actually maybe take some consideration into it and just stop and watch, they will see them too. And I think their whole outlook on these things will be completely different. But I think because of Hollywood and the government and things like this, it has corrupted what is actually going on. So it makes people who are seeing these creatures, who are seeing these things, a little bit difficult to get the word out, because people aren't ready for this and people haven't heard this before. But in time, they will see it too, and they will recognize what to look for. And this is why I put all my stuff up. You know, people are saying, dang, man, you got some good stuff. Why don't you make $1 million off this stuff? You know, I wasn't in it for the fame, and I wasn't in it for the money. I was out to figure out what the hell was going on in our skies. And when I saw it, I was like, this is something. I think the whole world should see it, and I don't think you need to pay $19.95 just to see what is going on in the world. So I put my stuff up on the internet. Everything is for free. I put everything, all my findings, everything up so the whole world could see. Because for one, I have nothing to hide. And for two, I want other people to say, wait a minute, maybe this guy has something. And for them to go investigate it and see it for themselves, you see. And to know what to look for. Because we're looking for something that Hollywood has placed into our brains that is something that is really isn't true. So when they see my videos and then they see something in the sky, they will come back and say, wait a minute, there's some dude out there in Phoenix, Arizona that saw the exact same thing. And you know what? I'm getting reports from all over the globe saying, hey, you know what? There was some, we remember seeing something like a flying snake in 2005 over some trees and blah, 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 blah. That's how I get paid, Kevin, is when people email me with their stories and they say, hey, you know what? I saw something, too, that just didn't look quite right, you know? And then that's when everything falls into the place and I say, yeah, you saw it, buddy. Good job, man. Right on.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, people can take any isolated video and just criticize it to death. But one of the things that I have never gotten an answer to, every UFO video that's out there gets criticized to death. But there is this one thing. You know that flying snake? That flying snake has been videotaped by NASA.
Yes, it has.
So my question that to which I have never gotten an answer is, do you think NASA released a balloon and then videotaped it? Is that what you think? Do you think that NASA made that up I mean, they didn't even want to comment on it and didn't comment on it. But it's there, and that video is available on the Internet, and you can see it looks like a really gigantic snake or worm that's just sort of snaking its way along the upper atmosphere and the clouds. And it was videotaped from the shuttle. And so my question, to which there's never been an answer, is did NASA also fake the video? If you think all these other videos are fake, what about that one? Did they fake that one? And nobody ever answers it. I'll tell you something else, though, that's pretty interesting. And it's you never, ever, ever get a debunker to talk about this or to answer this. There are tape recordings of astronauts talking to mission control. And some of those tape recordings have things on it like this. We, and I quote, we still have the alien spacecraft under observance. Now that's a quote from a NASA astronaut talking to mission control. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance. So, you know, when you have to deal with all this criticism and all these debunkers, I guess it kind of helps to know that, you know, there are people in high places that have also seen these things. Speaking of people in high places, and you mentioned Phoenix Lights, at the time, Governor Fife Symington, at the time of the Phoenix Lights, held a really foolish press conference in which he made light of the whole thing by having his assistant come out in front of the press dressed as an alien gray. And he said, "We've caught the culprit." Since then, Governor Fife Symington has come out and said, "Look, you know, I didn't intend to offend anybody with that. I realize now that it offended a great many people. I didn't intend that. I was just trying to put a little levity into the situation and just thought it would be funny." And he said, "But, you know, I'm really on the same page as a lot of these people that were offended with me. I'm on the same page." And he said that he saw it. Now, he is a retired or former U.S. Air Force officer. He is a fighter pilot. And he said, "That's not from here. It's otherworldly." So you do have people in high places that are beginning, you know, to start to talk and not to ridicule and not to criticize. Does that help you in any way whatsoever?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Excuse me. You know, and, you know, the next thing, the next step on this, okay, at least we got him to admit that, you know, it's otherworldly or whatever, or not really that, or that they can't explain it. So now we have to start letting them know that, you know what? What if it's possible, okay, open your mind, what if it's slightly possible that these things live here too? What if this is their planet also? What if the Native Americans are saying what is true and that there is another living entity, being life force, in the ground here? You know, because I think that's the next step on this. I think everyone is talking flying saucers and from another planet, and this is what I thought too. You know, I thought other planets and green guys and technology, and so I'm going into this, thinking this, and I'm coming out going, wait a minute, this is their home. They live here too. They have always been here among us. They have always been watching us, just like some of these scrolls that we read for so many years is telling us, you know, well, here they are. We're actually seeing them now. They're actually coming out. They're actually here. So I think it's only a matter of time when somebody sits down and studies this like I have in depth, they will understand that it's not from another planet, but it's in fact from our very own planet.
Jeff, do you... we got caught by the break. All right, we have to take a break, folks. And when we come back from this break, we will continue with Jeff Woline and our discussion of petroglyphs in the sky. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Woline. Before we get back into this, I want to thank all of you who have sent email commenting on the better quality of the video. We're not through yet. It's going to get better. But, yeah, it is much better than it was, and that's a good thing. We want it to improve all the time. Let me also tell you that in the next hour, after the next break, is when we open up the phone lines. And it's also when we start receiving flash messages. I have discovered that for whatever reason, if I don't mention flash messages, I don't get any. But, you know, it's open 24 hours a day. If you are outside the USA... If you're in the USA and send us a flash message, we will not read it on the air. We have a phone line for you, okay? We have a phone line for you in Canada. It's a talk show, not an internet email show. However, if you're outside of that area, if you're in any other part of the world, you can send me a flash message. If you don't mind paying the international long-distance charge, you can call the telephone number, and that works. And we had a call the other night, Jeff, from Scotland. And that was quite impressive. It's been a while since we've had a call from Scotland, but we have had calls from there before and from many other countries. Yeah, it works if you want to call it. It's just not toll-free. So if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, feel free to use the flash message and just click the link on my site. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com. Click the link. You'll see it. Just scroll down. You'll see it says flash message. Click it and send us your comments or your questions, and I'll read them on the air. We'll start doing that in the next hour. All right. Now, Jeff, we were talking about people in high places that are beginning to sort of the ice is cracking, and they're beginning to talk about what they also have seen. And you said, well, you know, we need to get them the next step, and that is get them to take the next step, which is consider that maybe these are not from somewhere else in the universe, but maybe they're from right here.
Yeah, and that in itself could take at least a few more years. So,
do you know Daryl Sims, the alien hunter?
Yes, uh-huh.
He said something very interesting that goes right along with that. The last time he was here on the show, he said, I'm not answering questions on this. What I'm going to say doesn't answer questions. It maybe causes questions. But consider that when these things, you know, we see them in the optical range, and then they fade from that into infrared, and you can no longer see them with your eye, but infrared cameras can pick them up, and then from that into ultraviolet. And he said, you know, they seem to be able just to slip back and forth in all these wavelengths. And he said, you know, maybe they're from here. And maybe all that stuff about being from other stars and other planets, maybe all that's lies. Maybe they're lying to us.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as saying it's lies. I just think that it's just not understanding what it is, you know, because we just assume that we see this big bright red light out there, and we just assume that it must be technology, and it must be a spaceship, and there must be somebody inside that, right? Because, excuse me, this is what we're led, you know, to believe, you know, throughout our childhood, you know, such as movies and sci-fis and things like that. So we just assume that it comes from another world. But what if what we're seeing is the life being itself? What if that light is the creature, is the ship? What if the whole thing is that there's nobody inside that? What you're seeing is what this creature looks like.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before. But, you know, there are also very solid reports of things that are technological and that did open up and that a being did walk out of. So, you know, maybe they both exist.
That's correct. That's very possible, too. That could be maybe some kind of time machine. You see, maybe that's maybe it's someone from the future that's able to do this. Or, you know, look, we're in a galaxy full of billions of planets, and all these planets, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if something similar to Earth with people just like us is on one of these, you know, one of these planets here, and it wouldn't doubt it at all for someone maybe a little bit more advanced than us, you know, to come visit us, to come see us, you know. So I wouldn't put it past that at all.
One of the things about the Phoenix Lights that, I mean, I talked with several people about the Phoenix Lights. Fife Symington, who is a pilot and former Air Force officer, Fife Symington said he saw a structure, a gigantic structure. I talked with an active duty Marine who told me the same thing, and he was out at near South Mountain when it flew over him, and he said, you know, it was a structure. He said it was a real structure, and it was big.
You know, according to that March 13th, 1997 event, there was two sightings. There was one at 8, and then there was one a little bit after 10. And there was two events. One that is the famous one, where the lights are just popping in and out, and the people are blaming it on flares and things like that. And then there's one where people are reporting, well, I saw something in the middle, and it blocked out the stars and things like that. Well, we don't have any video of this. You see, this is interesting.
We do have video of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen that yet, so I'd love to see that. But then again, my point is, when we go up on the mountain and we see these petroglyphs, what I'm noticing is ball-like structures with lines connected together. Now, mm-hmm. I've seen this during the day. I've seen these things when they're positioned into the sky. A beam of line, some kind of rod comes out from them, and they actually connect together, okay? And they form like this barbell formation, if you will. So maybe it's possible. And I think in watching these things and studying these things are after energy, man. These things are after the fault line and the gases from the mountains of the ground that these things is after. This is what they're going after, is the ley line and the energies. And I think they're able to harness this energy, and actually maybe when they're up there, maybe one guy is feeding off the other guy. So they connect together, and they actually harness this energy together. So it's very possible. You know, I'm not saying this is what it is. It could have been a spaceship from another planet. I don't know. I didn't see it, and I haven't seen the video. But what I am saying is that it is possible that maybe all these lights were connected, and it was many different life forms connected to make one solid life form.
Yeah, but you've got the reports from really credible witnesses, very credible witnesses, that say that this thing was gigantic and it was dark. It was, you know, there were lights on it, but the body of it was dark, and as it passed over, it blocked out the sky.
Oh, I sure would like to see the video on that.
The Lynn Katai video has a picture of it over the valley, and as it was hovering over the valley, and this video was being taken, the people on the ground underneath it are the ones that testified to seeing the body.
Yeah, that photograph in 1995, that Lynn Katai, just three orbs over the city.
No, it's five. It's five. It's video, and there are five, and the lights go off and on in a sort of sequence.
I'm talking about the one that she photographed in 1995, And this is on the very front cover of her book, where it shows the three lights over the city. Now, that is over the city of Phoenix, and those are three orange amber lights there.
Yeah.
But as you can see, they're not connected together. We just have three stationary lights with nothing solid in the middle.
Yeah, but that's not the Phoenix Lights event. The Phoenix Lights event was the, you know, the five or six lights. And and they were in a either V or a boomerang shape, and
that's the same lights, Kevin. It's the same thing. It's the same entities. You see what she?
I don't buy that's entities at all. Not the Phoenix Lights
thing in 1997 that they filmed over the mountains there.
The Phoenix Lights was not just Phoenix. It flew down the entire state.
Oh, that's right. That's correct.
And people all over the state saw that huge black body.
Right, exactly.
And so that event, I'm not buying as entities. That's a machine.
Something.
Something big.
On that.
But I will say this as well. I have, and if you ever watch the opening to my show, the video that plays shows some of these lighted orbs that you're talking about. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put that on the screen right now and see if we can get to it. Well, I don't think we're going to get there before the break takes over. Okay, so we'll get that after the break. And I'll show that so everybody can see it. These are some of the kinds of things we're talking about. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. We are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. My guest this evening, Jeff Woolline. And I started to show on our internet TV feed something, and we just ran out of time, and I want to show it. Now, it's in our opening segment. All right, now, that sparkling thing you see and those orbs you see now, that's over the desert out here in the Phoenix area. And I'm just going to stop it, and you can see the one on the left looks very much like what NASA photographed and what they videotaped around the Tether experiment. Now, I've had people call in and tell me, more than one, that Tether experiment is not really... that's an optical illusion, and that's just debris and stuff out there. But it's interesting, isn't it, that all that debris is the same shape. It's also interesting that Tether is somewhere between 78 and 90 miles away from the spaceship. And if you watch the whole thing, you will see that some of those things shaped like the one on the left that you see on your screen right now fly behind that Tether. And so that's not debris that's close up. They fly behind it. You see the Tether obliterating your view of sections or portions of the round thing flying behind it as it moves behind it. The one on the right, if you will look carefully, you'll see what Jeff is talking about. It has divided itself into two parts, and very faintly in between you see a line. It looks like something, you know, like a barbell. It looks like it's joining the two halves. And I'll start the video up again now so you can see. And let's run it back again just a little bit. And watch this thing split. And you see that the left side of the one that's splitting grows larger. The right side grows smaller. And there is a line between them. All right, now, that's one of the types of things that Jeff has been describing. And that's up above the desert near the Australia Mountains, Jeff. And which, of course, in Spanish, Australia means stars. And that brings me to the question I have for you next, and then we'll open the phone lines. Have you spoken with any of the Native American tribes out in this area about these things?
You know, I have with some of them. Excuse me. One I found at the Pueblo Indian Art Museum, and he was the only one that I was able to get on camera talking about this. And once he found out who I was and what I was all about and what I'm seeing, then it's very hard to get him back up on the mountain. The natives really are kind of hush-hush about this. I find it very interesting that some of these natives, because I know that they're seeing them too. Heck, we're getting reports out there at the Australia Mountains from the Indian reservations all the time. And most of these natives are seeing that these are spirits from their ancestors, you see. So they're seeing them all the time, but yet, you know, they're not coming forward, you know. And there's a few things that they could be not talking about. One is, you know, if the legends and the interpretations of the rock art is true, that, you know, what we're seeing isn't really a good thing, that this is something that is meant to be left alone, that some Native American tribes say that, you know, we're not supposed to be messing with these spirits, and they actually know that, you know, this is not legend, that this is true, and the white man have a hard time believing this. That's why they kicked him off the land.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then some of them, they will come forward and talk to you about it and just tell you to be careful, because they know, you know, they understand that this is real, that this is something that, in my opinion, really shouldn't be messed with. I think that lessons learned from the people who last time dealt with these things. Clearly, these things, the people, the Ho'okam, which means the people who went missing, the people who are gone, because we don't know what happened to these people, but yet they left their testimony and their daily life and symbols and things on the mountains. They recorded their things on the mountains, and it shows these things, you know, literally taking people up. You know, they interacted with these life forms, mankind did. Sometimes the petroglyphs show what looked like acrobatics. They were doing acrobatics with these things in the sky. For instance, there's a barbell portraying in the sky, and we have two guys hanging from the bottom of it and one guy on top with his legs ascended into the sky like he's actually flying with this thing. So they wasn't afraid of him. But when you ask the natives, well, what happened to these people, they will tell you that the devil came from the east and took these people away.
From the east?
That's correct.
Interesting. All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the telephone lines and make it possible for people to call in. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. And let's go to the phone line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
All right, we can barely hear you, Kevin, but go ahead.
All right, guys, a great discussion tonight, by the way. You know, we've all heard about UFOs and objects and everything flying around, but what I would like to know is who's controlling these things, is who's piloting these things, and I'd like to get your thoughts on who you think is... are part of these things. Are they the Greys, reptilians, Pleiadians? Are they remotely controlled?
Well, what Jeff is talking about, he says, is not being piloted. These are living entities.
Living entities, huh? Well, when it comes to the orbs, I've also read reports of people who had seen these things with some sort of technology where they were able to affect the mass, where they see... like the saucer-shaped ones, and all of a sudden they'd see them turn into these orbs and fly off. Could these orbs possibly be some sort of technology where they're able to affect the mass of things, so they can move.
Okay, what do you think, Jeff? Can these orbs be some type of technology that is capable of affecting the masses?
The masses, as far as weather manipulation and earth changes, is that what you mean by masses?
I don't know. What do you mean by manipulating the masses?
Manipulate the mass of an object, like some people have reported seeing a saucer-shaped craft, and they'd shrink it down to these bright.
Oh, I understand.
Bombs. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They shift shape then. They change form. There's two answers to this. One, you know, it could be, you know, it's very possible it could be another life form with this type of technology from another planet. Or it could be a race that's already living within the Earth that the Native Americans talk about, where they shift shape and they look like, to us, maybe a craft. Maybe it looks like a diamond out there, or maybe it looks like a hat, you know, and then all of a sudden it turns into a solid white ball, you know, it's like a little white object, and then it turns back into a hat or a diamond or something like that, you know. So people would think, well, that's a craft, that's a spaceship, you know. It could be. You know, my theory on this, because I've seen these things over the years so many times, is what I've witnessed, what I videotaped, it isn't a craft. It's not technology. It's actually another life form. It's some kind of sophisticated, intelligent animal. And the Phoenix Lights and what I have been filming, in my opinion, in studying the rock art, is this is just the tip of the iceberg on what's to come. When you ask the natives, well, you know...
Yeah, go ahead.
When you ask the natives, you know, well, what happened? What's the story here? They say that they didn't know how to live in the hot, dry desert, so these lizard people came up out of the sand world and taught these people how to live. Well, when I'm looking at this rock art, I'm seeing these lizard people, and I'm starting to think that the Phoenix Lights and the creatures and these flying serpents that we're seeing now, the lizard people have yet to emerge. There is still another many different life forms still under the earth here, that hasn't came out yet, and it's only a matter of time when I think soon they will. And I believe the Phoenix Lights and all these things that I have been witnessing and the things that have been witnessed around the world is setting the stage up for something much greater to come.
All right, the telephone line is open, folks, 602-539-9580. If you have a question or a comment, maybe you have seen some of these things that Jeff has been talking about in your part of the world, and we'd love to hear from you if you have. We have a flash message from Jeff down in Australia, and he says, "Hey, Kevin, would be interesting if Ed Grimsley could get together with Jeff and do some infrared gazing to see what it's all about." I don't know if you're familiar, Jeff, with Ed Grimsley. Ed Grimsley discovered that if you use very high-tech infrared technology, infrared goggles, so to speak, you can see lots of UFOs that you don't know are out there. You don't see them, but they're out there, and you can see them with this infrared technology. And so what Jeff is writing here is, he says, you know, it'd be interesting for Ed Grimsley to come out here and see some of these things and look at, just take a look at South Mountain through infrared lenses and see what he can see.
Kevin, that would be so awesome. That, you know, I believe, you know, and watching these things out the window for so many years and paying attention to the sky, not only did I see these flying creatures, but I did see these little white airplanes, and I did see black helicopters that seemed to monitor what was going on out there. And some of these white airplanes and black helicopters had these little black domes on the bottom of them. And I find it very interesting that one day this black helicopter went to seven doors. Now, it took me almost a year to find out where these seven doors is. Now, what I mean by doors is where I've witnessed either something going down over there or something coming out in the same spot. And it took me almost a little over a year to find out where all these doors are, simply watching and learning where these things are coming and going from. Now, this black helicopter one morning came over the mountain, and he went to every door that there was, every spot that I was watching, he went and checked it out. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, how did he know this? You know, the only way that he would have known where these doors are is to simply watch for over a year and to find out where it is. But yet this helicopter, over the year of research that I did in one day, wrapped it all up for me and told me where all the doors were, you know, and told me where all these things were. And I think that it's very possible that this technology that they have, this infrared system, now when these things come up out of the ground, I think that some kind of energy is created right in that spot. And I think maybe with this technology that we'll be able to have, this infrared, maybe we'll be able to see the energy start to build. You know, maybe that's when the doors start to open. And I think if we did have this type of, you know, infrared, if we did have this type of equipment, we would be able to see this, because some of these airplanes and some of these helicopters would go right to that spot and either would suppress that area, which I mean keep going back and forth over, back and forth over, back and forth, as if to say that they don't want something coming out or they don't want something coming in, or what they would do is the helicopters would hang around and then leave, and 5 minutes later from that very exact same spot, one of those things would leave. Okay, so it's like, how did they know? You know, how did this helicopter, how did this airplane know that one of those things was going to leave right there, you know, before it happened?
So are you saying that you think maybe they, through infrared, were seeing a buildup of energy?
Exactly, yes, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. Yes, I believe that the people who are watching these things, who aren't telling us what's going on, is monitoring this by some kind of infrared technology that is able to read the energy levels in the fault lines. And I believe as soon as one reaches a certain peak, it opens up a door attracting these things for the energy, because these things absorb the energy from the fault lines.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling tonight.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I can't complain. Interesting topic. As far as doorways opening and creatures coming out, didn't George Knapp talk about that out at the ranch, that they had witnessed something to that account?
Yes, he did. He certainly did. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that is you know, quite a possibility, these lizard creatures and so on that come out of the ground. It's something that he described. So, and obviously, if the natives were talking about it, it's quite possible, because they're on close to a reserve out there in Utah, and they were sort of experiencing the same type of thing.
Let me ask you something that's a little bit off topic. Are you listening to the show or watching the show?
Both.
Okay. So you saw when I put the video up that where you had those two orbs of light in the sky. Could you see the connecting line between them?
I couldn't on the screen, no.
I was afraid of that. It's very faint, very faint. But, folks, if you can't see it on your screen, that is because that's just because we're broadcasting it. If you were looking at the video, you not broadcast, but just looking at it here, you would see it. It's a very, very faint, lighter line connecting the two halves. You could see it split into two halves, though, right?
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the video better now than it was a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, I'd say it's definitely, it's 50% better, so it's almost 100% now.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, let me ask you this. Now, you brought up George Knapp and the Skinwalker Ranch, and he talked about that there would be sort of an energy vortex and kind of a shimmering, and then they would see this creature just step right out of it.
Yes.
Or step into it.
Well, they think it was coming out.
Mm-hmm. Now, he described that creature as looking something like what we call Sasquatch, right?
As far as I could remember, that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jeff, have you ever seen anything that looks like a creature that we have seen here on Earth before, or are they all rather bizarre?
Here's what I've seen. I have seen what looked like a possible caveman. He's either a representation of a caveman or maybe a monkey. Because in studying this, I know the Egyptians and I know the Mayans, they considered monkeys very sacred. And so we find a monkey rock art with mountains behind him, with depicting mountains behind him and a huge barbell emerging out of this mountain. So what's to say this isn't a monkey or a caveman or possibly, you know, what we're considering, you know, Sasquatch, so Bigfoot. So
yeah. Now, you're talking about having seen that in the rock art.
Yes, sir.
But have you ever seen one of these monkeys or cavemen emerge?
Oh, that's a negative. No. Mm-hmm. No, I've never seen anything what looks like a person. I've seen shapes that kind of resemble maybe a person, but not like a person. Maybe arms and legs, but maybe a head's kind of different. But and nothing like walking on the ground. They all seem to like a bubble, like you're blowing a bubble. It's just so weird, you know. You see this bubble come right out of the mountain there, and it just ascends into the sky, and it makes no noise, and it shifts shapes, and it does neat things, and no one pays attention, but it's there.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you have another question or comment?
No, just a comment. I think if you got some of those night vision or some good technology up there, you'd have some surprising results, because that's what they had at the Skinwalker Ranch with some good night vision, and you know, again, but with what's going on there at South Mountain, that would be one heck of a place to do some investigating.
Yes,
with that type of equipment.
Yeah, it would be.
Exactly, and this is a mission that I'm on. I mean, I want people to come back to this mountain and to pay attention and to watch it. And the more people start to understand what's going on over here, the more people seeing it, then they can start bringing in more technology and we'll find out more better answers. So I'm on a mission here to bring people back to the mountain, and it's starting to work, and to draw that suspicion that maybe there is something here and to investigate it just a little bit further.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. 602-539-9580 is the telephone number, and we would be more than happy to take your call if you have a comment or a question. Just dial those magic numbers in that order, 602-539-9580. All right, let's see. Here is a flash message. This one says, I could see the connecting line. So I guess it depends on the resolution of your screen when I showed that. The resolution on your screen will determine whether you're able to see it. It's really faint, but it's there. And It's really weird because, you know, it's a ball of light, and then it begins to separate, and the left side is very small, but it grows in size, and the one on the right side diminishes in size, and then it's a single ball again.
You know, Kevin, real quick, I'd like to go back to that last caller from Canada. He's straight in Canada, and we're getting reports and sightings in Canada, and I'd like for him to keep his eyes open. And if you go to my new website, it's called SeenUFOsOverPhoenix.com, S-E-E-N UFOs with an S over Phoenix.com, and you scroll down to maybe the middle bottom page there, on the very kind of like in the middle, it'll say UFO over the water. Now, this was filmed over I believe the Atlantic Ocean, And it's to a T. It looks exactly like some of these creatures that I have been filming, and people in Mexico has been filming also. And it flies right over the boat, comes right up to them, and it spins down into the trees there. So I just want to let Canada listeners be aware that these creatures are there too. And notice the time of day, okay? And notice the time of day in my videos. These things like the evening times, and this is the time when these people were on the boat and this creature came up who knows where and flew over them and then landed in the trees about a mile away from them. So that's a very, I love the video. I think the guys did a great great video on it, and it's really something to see. So,
all right, we're into a break. We will be back in just a few minutes. And we'll continue with your calls. Fascinating topic, isn't it? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and my guest this evening, Jeff Woolline. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And we'll be more than happy to take your calls. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can send a flash message. All you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see a link that says Flash Message. Just click that and send the message, and we'll get it, all right? And I check those every few minutes, every 2 or 3 minutes, I check those. And we'll be glad to read your question or your comment and get Jeff to comment on it. All right, now, Jeff... one of the things that I think would be kind of scary to people is the idea that, and it's what you talk about, that these are living beings and that they are intelligent. Do you think they are more intelligent than us?
Oh, yeah. These things, they're on a higher level, if you will. They're in a higher intelligence than what the humans are able to understand, I guess, if well. And studying these and watching and doing the research, they are much more intelligent and much more sophisticated than we are. And look at my videos, Kevin. Look at the crazy things that is going on that I filmed, okay? And this is the reason why the government isn't talking about this, I'm afraid of, because, you know, for one, look at their past. If what I have dug up in my research is true, then these things aren't good. These things are out to, you know, to take control, to take over the planet again like they did before. You know, they're out to, I don't know, I guess, to conquer mankind. They're out they want us to worship them again, you see? And it could be this is the reason why the government isn't talking about this. No, I feel that if what I'm filming and what other people are seeing is here to help us, if this was here to help us, then I think the government would be saying, hey, you know what, we found E.T. over here. He's going to help us, you know, clear up the world and get our ozone back in shape and clear cancer and things like that. But they're not. They're keeping this a secret, and they're hiding the subject from us. Why? You know, one of the interviews I'd done, I think it was Channel 5 a few years ago, he says, well, you know what, these lights have been reported ever since 95 and or 97, and but yet not one has failed to make contact with us. I think right by now we should pose them as a threat, you know, because they haven't informed us on what their intentions are, you know, and I think he nailed it right on the head there. You know, what are they doing here? Okay, we see you guys. Now come down, talk to us, tell us what you want. Don't be all hiding and secretive and just show yourselves to certain people. Come out, let everybody know you're here, and let's do it up right, and let's see what's going on.
All right, you brought up doing a interview with the local news group here, news team, What is, generally speaking, what is the attitude of the news media here locally to what you're doing? I mean, are they pretty open to it? Are they hard to deal with? What how do they deal with you?
Whoa, there's a lot of answers to that question. You know, okay, I guess I'll start off with the beginning. When I first got into this, when I first started things, when I first made the connection, you know, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was fascinating. You know, I thought, wait a minute, I could change the whole perspective on this, you know, because this is something new that people hasn't, you know, is familiar with. You know, it's like, it's there, it's true, I don't know what else to say, and here it is, and if people can't accept it, I'm sorry, but it's here. You know, and I thought that maybe it could change things, but what had happened is because, you know, like I thought in the beginning, spaceships, green guys, technology from another world, blah blah blah. So I thought, you know, this is what some of the news is expecting. You know, because when you talk about UFOs, they're expecting, well, okay, you know, it's from another life form or it's from another world. But when you start coming down and you start saying, wait a minute, hold the phone, what I witnessed was something coming up out of the ground. I didn't see a spaceship. I didn't see anything, you know, blocking off the stars or anything. What I saw was a distinct being. And this thing was, to my eyes, to me, intelligent, because it was sometimes responding to some of the things I was asking it. You know, it was sometimes it moved left, and sometimes it was clearly, to me, intelligent. But I saw no technology. I saw a life form. You know, when I was doing the History Channel, they specifically told me, Duff, don't say entities, don't say spirit, don't say creature, because the people aren't ready for this yet. Say UFO. And I specifically made sure that I never said, you know, a spaceship, or I never said, you know, anything to do with technology, because I made sure I said that, you know, these were UFOs, because people aren't ready for this yet. You know, so gradually, through awesome shows like the UFO Hunter Show, the information is slowly but surely getting out, you know, that maybe something is different, maybe there is something different to this, you know, but it's going to take the public a long time to witness this, to understand this, because this is all new. So it's going to take a lot of time for all my research, all my work, and everything I've seen, for someone to say, "Holy cow, Jeff, dude, you're right over there, man! I can't believe this. You know, I didn't believe it until I actually saw it. You know, and I just know it's only a matter of time. Every year we're getting closer to 2012. More is coming. In my opinion, and watching these things over the year, what is going on is a little UFO invasion. It's an invasion that's taking place here that people aren't aware of, because why? No one's really talking about it. The government hasn't said, well, hey, you know, there's ET coming and going from the mountain out here. You know, and they're not paying attention. What they're doing is they're going about their everyday lives thinking that everything's okay, not paying attention to the skies, when in fact there is another creature or something else up there in that sky watching you too, you know. So I think it's time for us to pay attention, because you will see it.
All right. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin, and your host is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Did your guest give a description of these things he was seeing? I missed some of your show.
Yeah, well, he's been on the show many times before, and he has, and we've shown some of his video, but we'll get him to describe some of the things as well. So, Jeff, you want to describe some of the things that you've seen coming out of the mountain?
Well, you know, I've posted a lot of videos on the web. If you search Jeff Woolwine on the Internet, there's all kinds of things on me that you can find. And then you can go to my website, Seeing UFOs Over Phoenix, or petroglyphsinthesky.com, and you can actually see what I'm talking about. You know, one of the creatures that fell out of the sky one morning, it made a video of the day on News Channel 3. And to me, it looked like a big spider. When I first saw it coming, coming at me in the sky there. It wasn't very high. It was going counterclockwise. It was a pitch black spider looking thing. I believe it had maybe five legs, and it was going counterclockwise. I noticed this thing. It was really close. I jumped on the camera, and as soon as I did, it didn't go nose forward. It went tail forward. If you look at the video, it's the one, I call it a black spider or whatnot, but it goes butt forward, and it drops out of the sky, and it turns, and it flies right at the window, and it levels off, okay? It levels off. As it dips down, it clearly wanted me to film it. It leveled off, and as soon as I saw it, it zoomed past me, and it was headed for some palm trees. Okay, as soon as it went past the windowsill there, I looked at it with my own visual eyes, and I saw this thing lift up, go up over the palm tree, and with seconds, it went from the right to right in front of me over the power line, and then headed off towards the South Mountain. So in seconds, it went from here to there. It slowly went.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Over the palm tree?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I saw it go up over the palm tree, and then that's when I positioned my camera back. I watched it from my own eyes, and it lifted itself over the palm trees, and it went from right to left in front of me, and zoom, it took off. And that's when I jumped back on the camera, and I watched it. It turned up over upside down. It looked like it had a backbone structure to it. When you slow it down and you freeze frame it when it's right there at the window, you can actually see the skin. It looks like it's got skin on it. If you zoom in and examine this footage, it's got a little tentacle that waves to you as it flies by. A little black tentacle comes out of it. It's really hard to notice, but it's there. There's spots on this thing. It looks like maybe a birthmark or something on it. If you look even really, really close at it, you can actually see its eyes, and it kind of looks like maybe a turtle or something. It goes by so fast, it all happens so fast that you have to frame by frame by frame and watch this thing, zoom in, take photographs of this thing, you know, copy this thing, examine it, because it's real. It was a creature, and it was something that I've never seen before.
Terry, does that do it for you?
Yeah, I just wondered if he thought that these things are actually what they look like, or if they're just manifesting themselves in that fashion.
Oh, good question.
Awesome question. I've noticed that what these things do is they morph, they shift shape, but they always go into the original shape. What I've noticed is we have many different doors on this mountain and many different life forms. Okay, one part of the mountain, one crevice, one crack holds maybe what looks like a worm or a flying snake. And then a few miles down or a few blocks down, we come to another door, and the petroglyphs show a flying cross, you know, and then you'll see these flying orb red crosses flying around, okay? I believe that it's like the same entity, but like a different race, if you will. Like a different, and they shape-shift, but they always go back into the original form. So if one's a circle, he'll shift-shape, look like a snake, but he'll always go back into a circle. He'll always go back into his original shape. If one's a snake, a worm, he'll shift-shape, do real neat things, and then he'll always go back into what he originally looks like. That's something that I've noticed.
All right, Terry, thanks.
Had some kind of contact. Did any meaningful contact, communication of any kind?
Oh, wow, man. You know what? Studying these things and reading them about them and the Indian interpretations on the petroglyphs up here, they say that these rock art has the power to invoke these things. And going up there, not realizing this, going up there one day, kicking back, taking a break by a petroglyph, saying, hey, verbally talking to these things, I went up there and I talked to them and I said, hey, I think you're cool. Why don't you come and see us? 3 weeks later, that's when that humanoid snake left from that very, very exact same spot and came over to our apartment and saw my son and I. Okay? And ever since then, I'd go up there. I know we're three spots. It's so weird, but it's happened to me so many times over and over and over again. It's weird. You go up there.
Jeff, before you get into that, we're just about into a break here, and in 4 seconds. So I'll let you finish that when we come back. Terry, thanks for the call. Fascinating stuff, man. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach, and we would love to hear from you. We still have time for one more call. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. If you have a question or comment for my guest, Jeff Woolline. Jeff, I want folks to have the opportunity to get that web address again. Now, folks, normally I have on the website right beside my guest picture a link to their website. And this time I failed to do it. I simply forgot to put it in there. But I will, as soon as the show is over, I'll see that it gets up there. But it's called Seen UFOs Over Phoenix. S-E-E-N-U-F-O-S over Phoenix.com. And you'll find a world of photos and videos there. And it's some of the strangest stuff you'll ever see. Jeff, one of the things, and I want to make this point, one of the things that I heard early on, and you and I have talked about this, there were some people, a couple of folks saying, oh, that's just balloons that he's releasing. But we have similar videos coming out of Mexico showing the same kinds of things. We have NASA videotaping the same sorts of things from space as they look back down at the Earth. And it appears that these things are in the upper atmosphere of the Earth. So, plus, I have to say, I have seen some of these over Phoenix. Before I even knew you, I had seen some of these things over Phoenix. And so I know that what I was looking at was not a balloon. Balloons cannot fly against the wind. They can't stay stationary against the wind. I've seen them at high altitude. I say high altitude, not really high, but I mean, somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 feet, when we had very strong wind gusts, and the thing stood stationary there. Balloons can't do it. Are you still with me, Jeff?
Oh, that's right. excuse me. Yep, I'm listening to every word.
Yeah, balloons can't do that.
No.
And here's another thing. There may be some link geographically between these creatures and the ones that are being seen in Mexico, because a lot of people forget that Arizona, southern Arizona, used to be Mexico, and it was purchased. The United States didn't conquer and take it. They bought it. They bought it from the then president of Mexico, Santa Anna. But it was Mexico. And so geographically, it's still very much Mexico. It's still, I mean, the border is only on a map. And, I mean, you know, it's not painted on the desert out there. And so these things, maybe there's a whole civilization of these things that runs down into northern Mexico because that's where they're seeing them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the story that I found in the Phoenix Library talks about how the Mayans were here and how they erected apparently 7 cities of gold. Now, when I go up on the rock art and I take a look at the rock art, I'm finding Mayan or Aztec rock art that clearly resembles some of the ancient artwork we find in Mexico. So that just confirms it with me that, you know, that yes, the Mayans were here. Not only, you know, do we have them living amongst us now, but they were here also back then, too. So I believe, you know, the Mayan connection, Mexico, and absolutely the southwest of the United States, it coexists. It's the same entities. It's the same life forms, if you will. So it's the same, you know, same UFOs that they're talking about.
All right. We have heard a lot of stories about ancient Native Americans who used to live on the surface but have moved underground and are living underground. I think most people hear that story and sort of say, yeah, right. Okay. But it is a possibility because there are all kinds of caves, caverns, tunnels underneath our feet. So it is a possibility. Have you run into any of those stories while you're investigating and talking with Native Americans? Have you run into any of those kind of stories?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the Natives talk about we're getting ready to, we're in the fourth world now, we're getting ready to go into the fifth world, you know, and this has happened to our world four times. And each time, you know, it seems like, for instance, the turtle, all right? One Native American myth legend has it that the turtle saved mankind by man because the waters were coming and the floods were coming and the turtle was there, so man climbed up on the turtle and the turtle actually saved man until the waters exceeded. Another Native American myth says that there was fire on the earth and the ants actually let the people go in to their homes, into the ant world, into the ant burrows. And the ants, this is the reason why the ants' waist are so skinny, is because when man was down there in their home while the earth was on fire, man ate up all their food, and so the ants' waist became skinny. So this is the Native American interpretation of why the ants' waist are so skinny, is because man, at the beginning, ate all their food. There's many more that I could go into, but this is just some of the Native American interpretations on some of these worlds that has passed, and man has succeeded through either a coyote helping them, or a turtle, or even the ant.
Well, one of the things that you see a lot of in those petroglyphs out on South Mountain, and I would suspect on all the other mountains around here, you see a whole lot of coyotes carved on into petroglyphs.
Yes, yes. In studying this, now you have to study, you have to, in my observation, in my studies on this, when an animal is looking in a direction, such as a deer or a coyote or something like that, you really have to look in the direction of where they're facing, because 9 times out of 10, that coyote or that deer is looking in the direction of a sacred spot or doorway or something, you know, something sacred. Deers are my favorite. Some antlers actually represent the pathways to the mountains. If you look at, like, a deer and you look in the background, right? The mm-hmm. the crevices or the pathways of the mountain pathways represent the deer's antlers. Okay, so it's actually a map. It's a map. This deer's antlers is a map on showing the places where these sacred spots are. Another sacred meaning interpretation for these deers is these antlers is supposed to represent a sacred tree. Okay, and I, like I said before, I've seen these things emerging, coming and going from trees. So the Native Americans, you know, it's representing a sacred tree for these things emerging from, and 9 times out of 10, they are faced in the direction on something significant.
All right, Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us again tonight, and we're just about out of time. Stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you said Saturday or Sunday, Jeff, is when the show is going to be replayed.
Yeah, it's the UFO Hunter Show. The team did a great job on it. Very professionally done.
Yeah, but is it Saturday or Sunday that it'll be replayed?
Well, I believe it's going to be Saturday, but I could be wrong. Check your local cable guide. And it's a great show, and they did a wonderful job on it.
All right, tomorrow night, folks, some of you are really interested in things like Nostradamus. You're interested in all these end time things like the Antichrist. Well, tomorrow night, my guest is John Hoag. He is a Nostradamus expert, and he's written a new book called Nostradamus and the Antichrist. We'll be talking about that on the show tomorrow night. Tell all your friends and get them to listen with you. Tell everyone you know, even if it's your enemies, ask them to tune in. And we'll be back here tomorrow night with John Hoag. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.